It's Finance Day at the COP26 Climate Summit in Glasgow. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Companies who control trillions of dollars, including the world's biggest banks and insurers, are vowing to help achieve carbon neutrality by 2050. 450 companies have signed up to a climate coalition launched in April and led by former Bank of England Governor Mark Carney. He told the BBC this morning how his Glasgow Financial Alliance for Net Zero works.
It means bringing together financial institutions and having them commit to net zero. So all of their money, whether they invest in a company or lend to a company, that those underlying companies will themselves be reducing their carbon emissions, transitioning to net zero. And to be clear, what we're doing is not just setting a 2050 target, which, let's face it, is very far in the future, but fair share of 50% reduction by 2030 and five-year decarbonization plan. So they have to release plans basically within the next year to get emissions down over 5 years and to report annually to the public.
But campaigners are questioning the sincerity of some of these commitments because companies involved in the pact are not strictly barred from investing in heavily polluting industries.
It's not a regulation, but I actually cannot see any of these institutions financing a new coal mine. I would say more to the point, any financing of fossil fuels more broadly, oil and gas, has to be justified on a pathway that's consistent with 1.5 degrees. And as I think we all know, there's a very limited amount of fossil fuel financing left that's consistent with running down fossil fuels as we build up renewables. So the test is much harder.
That's former Bank of England Governor Mark Carney there. You can read more about his initiative and the role public spending commitments will play in all this. Head to bbc.com for that. Australia has joined New Zealand to ratify the world's biggest free trade deal among Southeast Asian nations and their major trading partners. It brings together the Association of Southeast Asian Nations and their five free trade agreement partners, which include Australia, China, Japan, New Zealand, and South Korea. The BBC's Phil Mercer has more on that from Sydney.
This is the world's largest trade agreement. Negotiations began almost a decade ago. The Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership represents about a third of the world's population. The accord covers trade in goods and services and creates new regulations for electronic commerce, intellectual property, and competition. New Zealand hoped it would cut red tape for its exporters and modernise its trading relationships. Australia has said it would strengthen its business ties with Southeast Asia. Its Foreign Minister Maurice Payne said Canberra's ratification of the deal didn't change its grave concerns over a military takeover earlier this year in Myanmar, which is one of the signatories. The pact will take effect on the 1st of January. In Sydney, I'm the BBC's Phil Mercer for Marketplace.
Checking the numbers now, stock benchmarks across Europe are down in the 0.1% to 0.3% range. It was a similar story across Asia. These declines come as investor attention turns to central bank meetings. Policymakers across the world have been debating whether and how to end pandemic-era support measures amid rising inflation. That's due mostly to supply chain bottlenecks caused by surging demand after pandemic lockdowns were lifted. Today, many believe the Fed will begin paring back its crisis-era bond-buying program, and tomorrow the Bank of England is on deck. It's under mounting pressure to start raising interest rates to try to tame rising prices. We traveled to a farm in Norfolk, a county on England's eastern coast, to find out how big a problem inflation really is here. Bright orange carrots are falling off a production line at an Alfred G. Pierce factory. The 50-year-old company is the nation's leading vegetable producer for prepared foods. That means these carrots will wind up in packs of pre-made salad, stir-fry meals, or in cans of pickles sold at grocery stores or served in restaurants. But times here are tough.
We've got a huge amount of challenges that all come along at once, starting off with Brexit, labour shortages, haulage crisis, and that's before we even get to COVID.
Jack Pierce is AGP's business development manager, and he's part of the third generation of this family business.
At some point, we're going to have a large increase in our energy bills, and that will have a fairly significant impact to our margins. We're having to put our pay rates to retain and attracting staff. Our haulage rates went up overnight, and that's before we start talking about growing input costs of fertiliser, seed. We're just seeing inflation everywhere.
AGP certainly isn't alone. Ian Wright, the boss of the UK's Food and Drink Federation, appeared in Parliament a few weeks ago with his own warning.
In hospitality, which is a precursor of retail, inflation is currently running somewhere between 14 and 18%. That is terrifying.
All of this threatens to feed through to everyday shoppers who already paid prices this September that were 3.1% higher than they were a year ago. Brexit-induced labor issues and pandemic supply chain problems are one component.
Then there's also quite strong demand, and therefore the economy is relatively hot, and that causes prices to go up as well. And that's probably the area where the Bank of England is more concerned about.
That's Yale Selfin, chief economist at KPMG, who says the big question is when the bank will act. Governor Andrew Bailey and nine other Monetary Policy Committee members have expressed worries about rising inflation and the need to contain it. But two others say there's little the central bank can do because problems are mostly due to shortages caused by surging demand as global economies restarted from their pandemic shutdowns.
Monetary policy normally takes a lag, and therefore central banks tend to target medium-term inflation rather than the short-term volatility.
She said a rate rise, if not this week, could come early next year. But for companies like Jack Pierce's, inflation is a problem now.
I wish I had a crystal ball. I like to think that some of what we're seeing will ease off, you know, in terms of energy prices and things like that. But we live in a free market economy, the last time I checked. And it's very Darwinistic. The fittest businesses over the next 3 to 5 years will survive, and those that don't won't be here.
Well, the Bank of England meets tomorrow, and many investors here expect policymakers there will raise rates for the first time since the pandemic began. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.